get out of the way, and Lord, you hold that very breath in your hands. God, you know every soul, God, that's here this evening, God, the need of every heart. I pray this evening, Lord, that God, you'll reach out, God, you'll bring comfort. God, there's one lost and undone amidst of us, Lord, I pray. Sweet Holy Ghost of God, the love of Jesus, Lord, would take that heart. God, put it in those big old hands, begin to massage it, let them know, God, that you love them, you care for them. And I pray, Lord, for the bread of life, God, that my brother, Lord, as he stands, God, the singing, the preaching, God, that you'll take tonight, Lord, and illuminate beyond mankind. God, give us a fresh anointing from on high. God, we'll love you for it. We'll praise you for it. God, we'll give you all glory and honor for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to try to stand behind the pulpit here and not move around too much. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, if you brought your Bible, I sure hope you brought a Bible to a meeting. This is a preaching meeting, and this is where we hear the Word of God, and you ought to have a Bible with you. I'm a stickler on just writing down some verses and going ahead and let God do what He's going to do.
Amen.
I believe in a few things. Number one, you don't need my opinion down on paper. Number two, I've come to realize that by writing verses down and making you turn to the verses, it keeps you awake. It's just a disease that's running rampant through the churches where people are just falling asleep all over the place. And I understand the sickly and the older and all that, they have a tendency to have, you know, fall asleep. I get it. But boy, I tell you, there's more young people falling asleep in churches. Why? Because, look at number one, the spirit of slumber comes over them. And number two, they're just not interested in the Bible. They're just not interested in what God has to say anymore. And you go, well, where does that come from? Well, parents, let's just look in the mirror.
Come on, brother. Come on, brother.
Right.
That's a real. It comes back to us. My children's responsibility. I am my children's responsibility to get them into the Word of God, to teach them the Bible, to get them. And not listen. You know why so many kids hate coming to church? Because they hear their parents grumbling and complaining.
Come on, brother.
Well, I gotta go to church again. Gotta go hear these loud preachers. What do you think is going to happen to them? Well, that's not my message. Romans chapter 10. Look at this in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 and 14. By the way, your children don't carry Bibles because you don't carry a Bible. I'm about carrying my Bible in the church.
Come on, brother.
It's already enough that we compromise everywhere else. Are we going to start compromising on what we carry in the church? I want people to see where I'm going. I want them to know where I stand. I want them to know that I have something that they might have. It might just interest somebody if they say, what are you carrying into that building? But if I start carrying those things in that look like the world, what are they going to think? This is just a worldly church. God forbid. Well, Romans chapter 10, look at what it says in verse 13 and 14. It says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what a wonderful promise from God. What a wonderful promise that God makes that he will say. It is God's will that every single person in this church that is lost is saved.
Amen.
But look at the next verse here, what it says. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? It is the unbelief of a person that keeps them lost and going to hell. Listen, he says, look at, very many people can have knowledge of many things. I had Bible knowledge when I came home from prison. But what I didn't have is a belief in that Bible.
Come on, brother.
Brother, pastor, it was about 6 months before I got saved. I held up that Bible and I said, I do not believe this like I thought I did. I had knowledge. Well, I could run people through everything, pastor. But that knowledge would have bust me hell wide open.
That's right, brother.
Why? Because Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, it says this, that knowledge puffeth up. It makes a person think they're something they're not.
Right. That's right, brother.
And a person, if you come up to them, I can get any person that's lost in here and say, do you believe this Bible? They will absolutely tell me yes. And what they're actually saying is, God, you're an absolute liar. Because they're still not saved.
Come on, brother.
Yeah.
You can't believe that Bible and be lost.
Right. Come on. Right.
Belief in your Bible demands an action.
Amen.
If you say you believe it, you know what they say they believe? They say they believe that God is going to cast them in hell, but yet they cannot believe this Bible for salvation.
Come on now.
That just blows my mind.
Yeah.
How can you believe the one and not the other?
Yeah.
Come on, brother.
Well, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Here's where most people are trapped. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. How can they call them who they don't believe? Why? Let me just say, for 4 years, I sat right where Stephen is, right here. I sat right before him in that seat there for 4 years as a lost man, knowing that I was lost. He said, man, what keeps a person's lost for that long sitting underneath the preaching of the Word of God? Let me tell you what kept me lost. It's coming to this altar with my worldly sorrow.
Oh, amen. Come on.
That's nothing to do with worldly sorrow. Your worldly sorrow will get you cast into hell. It's not about the worldly sorrow.
Right.
Come on, brother.
Right.
God is not worried about your worldly sorrow. Those are easy to fix for him.
Yep.
The power. Hey, man, everybody thinks, well, I got to get rid of the smoking, got to get rid of the drinking, got to get rid of the cussing. That's nothing for God to get rid of.
Amen.
He's not after those. He's after the truth on the inward parts.
Amen.
Amen.
Not about cleaning something up.
Right.
Well, look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. It says this, for godly sorrow worketh. I want you to see there that godly sorrow is working something. You see, there's an ETH on the end of that word work. That means it's something that continues to happen. God is continually working on that sinner.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always happen one time.
Come on, brother.
It's a work that God works inside of a person. And look, and if a person gets up here and they pray that prayer, I don't discount anything on that.
Mm-hmm.
When they get up and realize that maybe I just didn't get saved, I said that God begun a work in that person's life.
Amen.
They're starting to realize. You know why? Because they do not believe. Brother, I have heard people in front of me say, hey, they do not believe that Jesus Christ has been come in the flesh, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They do not believe that. They'll come up here under some emotional duress.
Come on, brother. That's right.
Emotional duress is not belief.
Right.
Emotional duress brings a temporary relief, and that is it.
That's right.
Amen. There's no salvation in an emotional profession.
Come on.
Zero.
That's it.
Come on, brother.
It won't work. You go, how do you know? Because they don't send me to hell, Timothy.
Exactly.
They won't send me to hell. And God had to work a godly sorrow in me.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It's a miracle that God worked inside of me. When I said, I'm tired of this, Lord, show me what it's going to take. And he said, I got to bring you to a place of godly sorrow. And it says that he worketh that.
Amen.
It's God that works that inside of a person.
Amen.
Amen. You know where it came from? From hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
And finally opening up to God and me telling him I just don't believe.
Yeah.
And I kept coming to this altar, brother. You know, I kept coming to the altar with all those worldly things, I'm so sorry for this, and I'm so sorry for that. And God time and time again would tell me, Dale, that's not the problem. It's the godly sorrow that's missing. It's the godly sorrow.
Come on,
you don't even understand where you stand with me. You don't believe where you stand with me. And I would not look at it, and I would not look at it, and I would not look at it. And then about a week before an October meeting, I was under such Holy Ghost conviction. I was so afraid to eat, driving a car, or anything. I thought, man, if I die right now, I'm going to bust hell wide open. Why? Because God is bringing me to a place of contrition. He showed me in that Bible that deep and absolute sorrow for the things that I've done against a holy God had nothing to do with mankind, had nothing to do with society, had nothing to do with what I've done to a person, and everything that I've done against God.
Amen.
That's what it came down to.
Yeah.
Man, that guy, it says here that godly sorrow worketh repentance to what?
Salvation.
Well, but don't preach repentance in a church today.
No.
Don't preach repentance in a church today. Churches today, good old Bible-believing Baptist churches don't believe in repentance anymore.
Wow.
That is when you go ahead and make a profession that you're okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know why? Because the churches have lost the ability, Pastor John, to believe in a changed life. So they take a profession as a changed life, no matter how they live. No matter how they live, they take that profession and say, that person's changed. They made a profession.
Right.
Profession is not salvation, Jesus
Christ. Big difference. Amen.
That's a big difference in worldly sorrow and godly sorrow working in you.
Amen.
I'll tell you that right now. You can't shake godly sorrow off. You can't. You know why? Because it works in repentance. It brings you to a place that you didn't work. That God worked inside of you. It's a place you didn't work up or drum up in your emotions. It's not how bad you feel. It's not about what's been going on. It's about God getting in you and showing you what you've done against Him. And you come to a place of contrition. And when you come to that place of contrition, you can't shake it off.
Amen.
Shake off all kinds of conviction. But I guarantee you won't shake off God's conviction.
Amen.
That's a fact.
Amen.
Get to that. That's what you need.
Amen.
Well, what happens? Well, they just put a Band-Aid on everything.
Come on now.
We have learned how to put Band-Aids on people. They are so used to God, the world giving them a temporary fix. Now we're doing it with religion. We're doing it and allowing them to emotionally, under duress, come to an altar and make a profession. And we think they're going to be okay. Well, can I just share with you for a few more minutes what the Bible says? Worldly sorrow is not belief. It's a temporary emotional relief. Religion, the worldly sorrow, insanity, these are all things that have people doing the same things over and over and over again. And they're expecting a different outcome and it never comes.
Come on, brother.
It never comes. I watch the men in jail and prison struggle with this constantly. And now they stamp religion on it. It's really insanity. Why? Because we have taught them, Brother Ronnie, whether it be in the church, or Brother Ronnie, whether it be in the institutions that we work in, we're teaching them the same thing that society's teaching them. Let's just put a quick fix on this thing, shove a couple pills down your throat, and send you on your way.
Come on, bro.
Do you know how many people I know that make professions in AA and NA? Do you know how much NA and AA it took for me to get off of drugs? Zero. Not an ounce of their nonsense. You know, they might as well come to church, Stephen. Well, they have a book. It's called the Big Blue Book. They have meetings. We call it church. They call it a meeting. Why don't you just come to church and get the real thing?
Why not?
Amen.
Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to turn to a few more pages. I'm going to be done here in a minute.
Bless him, Lord.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God help us tonight. Pay attention to what's being said. It's the word of God. It's not me. I ain't got nothing. Look, this isn't my meeting. But I could not shake this morning.
Bless you, Lord.
It kept me up all night. Just kept me up all night thinking,
yes,
brother.
Sir.
I said, well, Lord, if you want, I'll pray. And you asked Pastor Hayne. He said, I'll give you the 20-minute slot. I said, you know what? We might not even. I said, I just can't settle it.
That's right, brother.
I brought it with. I wasn't even going to bring my Bible with me. I was just going to leave it home. As I went to go walk out the door, brother, the Lord said, grab that Bible.
That's right. Amen. That's good, brother.
1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. We'll start there. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? And this is where the problem is that people are taking what little bit of religious knowledge that they might know and taking that spirit of religion and saying, that must be from God. No, it's actually from man.
Come on.
It's actually from something that you drum up in yourself. I'm just going to tell you this now. Seeking can become a religion.
Come on.
Yeah.
You'll get yourself caught up in it so hard. Yeah. You know what's going to happen? Bitterness, hatred, anger towards God, because you believe in your heart that God does not want to save you, and that's a lie.
Amen.
And it makes a person hard.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen.
What are they working on?
The spirit of man. And trying to call it the spirit of God.
Yeah, right.
You try.
You'll know when it's from God.
Amen.
You cannot shake when it's from God. How much time, babe? 5 minutes. Look what it says here. Now, I appreciate you telling me I need it. Even the soul of the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And you wonder why it says that people don't believe. Why? Because they're believing in their own spirit driving them to Christ. They don't believe that God's Spirit is drawing them unto Himself. And therefore they're trying to fix those things in their own life. Trying to fix it with religion. Trying to fix it with seeking. I've got to clean my life up. I've got to get better before I get to Jesus Christ. I must get rid of this. I've got to stand on my head in the corner. I've got to do 15 push-ups, 20 jumping jacks. He says, no, that's the spirit of man.
Amen.
Heaven.
That's not the spirit of God that worketh repentance.
Yeah.
You know what repentance means? It means you're not going to walk that way anymore. You're going to go the opposite way.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
When you're doing the things in the spirit of man, you're going to stay on the same path you've always been.
Right.
Mind-blowing, isn't it? No, it's in your Bible.
Amen.
If you just read it and believe it, it'll show you the way.
That's it.
It'll help you.
Amen.
Well, look at verse 13 here. It says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. My friend, you cannot fight a spiritual battle in the physical.
Amen.
It's going to take something outside of you to bring you to believe that Bible. It's going to take God working the miracle inside of you. It takes the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Stop acting like you're the Holy Ghost.
Come on, brother.
Let me ask you this. Would you want to go to heaven if God took away you as a lost person, if there was never a penalty to go to hell?
Mm.
Would you still want to be saved? Charles Spurgeon asked that question.
Yeah.
And man, I had to ask myself, man, would I have?
Yeah.
If there was never a penalty for you to go to hell, would you still want to be saved?
That's good.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
I had a man that I worked with in the jail. He said, the reason why I hate drugs, he says, I hate the consequence, not the feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
There are people sitting in this room tonight who hate the consequence but would love the drug. If there was no consequences to you using drugs, you'd still do them tonight.
That's right, bro. Amen.
Am I wrong?
That's right, bro. Amen.
Go ahead. You might as well just agree with it, because it's the truth.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's the spirit of man.
Right.
It's keeping you on the same track. Hey, when the Holy Ghost stepped inside of me, He took me on a different route.
Amen.
I didn't stay on the same route that I was. Hey, well, you know, let me just say, He worked those things inside of me.
That's right.
When God stepped inside of me, He kicked doors open and said, these things must go.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't leave them in there.
Right.
That's right.
Look at verse 14. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they don't believe.
That's right.
They don't believe. It's always a question. Well, why this and why that? Show me in there where it says that we are to question God. It tells you to believe. It doesn't tell you to question God. It says if you believe that record, what is the record? That Jesus Christ came and He died for our sins and He rose again on the third day for our justification. He says to believe. You believe that. He didn't say ask, well, why does God do this and why does God do that? Why does He hold this one this way? Why does He do that? He says believe the word of God and you shall be saved.
Amen.
The problem is you don't believe the word of God. All you do is question it.
Amen.
Hey, let me just say this, lost person. You go ahead and just look up in the sky right now and go ahead and call God a liar. Want to show you that in 1 John?
Right.
Where it says if you don't believe the record of what He is, He says you're calling Him a liar.
That's right.
Go ahead. Just call Him. Do you believe that?
Good.
call God a liar.
Right.
And you tell me you believe the Bible. You're the liar.
Yeah. That's right, amen.
God is not a liar. I thank God that he's never went back on anything he's put in that Bible.
Amen.
Not one thing. He's told this man, if you come to me and you believe on me, I'll forgive you of those things. Hey, it didn't just take away the fear of hell for me. That wasn't what I was afraid of. Everybody thinks, man, you got to be afraid of hell to get saved. You ought to be afraid of what you've done against the holy God. You see, that's contrition when you come to that place in your life. I'm done here in a minute.
Bless you, Lord.
Galatians chapter 3. God help us. You lost people ought to be thinking on this stuff. You lost people ought to be contemplating on this. You know where God was working with me at this week? Have you considered?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Floored me. You know why? Because I've not been considering Christ. I've not considered what he's done in a long time. I've not considered where he's brought me from. I've not considered what he's done in my life. I've not considered him in decisions. I've not considered Christ in my waking hours. I've not considered Christ in my prayers. I've not considered Christ in my decision making. What a shame on a Christian to live a life not considering the one who saved him.
Amen, brother. Amen.
How much more do I think you lost people are considering Christ in salvation? That's a reality. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. And look at what it says here. Wherefore, the law is our schoolmaster. For what? To bring us unto Christ. How does a person know that they're lost? How do they know what they've done against the holy God? It says the law is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. What does that mean? What's that schoolmaster means? Well, you go to school, you got a third grade teacher. And that third grade teacher, what is their goal? Their goal is to get you ready for fourth grade. That's what the law does to a lost person. It shows them exactly what they need to be saved. But how many of you lost people are looking into the laws of God just to see what kind of problem he has with you? Why are you looking on the everything on the outside? Where are we born again?
Come on, brother.
Where are we born again? The Word of God. Amen. Then why are you going anywhere else outside of that?
Come on now.
Why are you not letting God show you what he has against you? You know what it was against me that God had to show me? That I was a rebel against him and his Word. You think, man, a person like you that lived that life, you didn't know that? No, I had no clue because I always brought worldly sorrow to an altar. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I never thought once to look in the direction that God showed me that I was guilty before him in godly sorrow. And the moment that I realized that, I got off of my knees at 90 and a half East Main Street at home. Look at home.
Right, come on.
Now, I'm not saying you can't get saved in church. You can. But let me ask you this as I close it up. I believe the Lord's gotten that point across. But here's my thing. Be honest with yourself, lost person. How many of you came here expecting God to save you tonight?
Come on, brother, yeah.
How many? How many prepared your heart? Because before you walked in that door, you already doubted that God was going to show up.
Am I?
You already got the hard neck. Because you don't believe God can move across these pews and save you tonight. And you mean to tell me you believe that Bible? Show me where you believe it. That he's going to cast you in hell? That's what you believe? A loving, holy God who took your penalty? Let me ask you this. How many people in hell tonight would trade places with you any day because they know what Jesus Christ done for them?
Yeah, amen. Amen.
But you can get saved on any service.
Amen.
Sunday, Wednesday, it don't matter. You can get saved at home reading your Bible.
Amen.
Yeah, look, you don't have to come to a place to get saved. But my goodness, if you're going to come to a special meeting and hear preaching, at least prepare your heart that God would show up and show you what it is. Are you looking for what it is that God has personally against you?
Jesus.
Well, I said what I had to say. How about it?
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's on you from this point on. Pastor Hayes, if you come up, please play, do the music. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Page 328. Page 328. We're going to sing a song that asks.